Okay, let's turn back to Jonah. And chapter 3, and there's our verse there. When God saw what the Ninevites did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. That's a beautiful verse. Imagine if that verse was about you. There was a day when that verse was about me, and anyone here who knows Jesus Christ, we can say that there was a day when he saw that we had turned and he had compassion and did not bring upon us the destruction he had threatened. Because you and I live in a world where there are little issues and there are big issues. And a lot of the time we focus on the little issues and we forget about the big issues. And I guess that's one of the tricks that we play to try and keep ourselves from uncomfortable thoughts. And I guess it's one of the tricks the devil plays to try and keep ourselves from reality. That we spend our time on little issues. And I don't mean the wrong issues. I don't mean that at all. It's a very important issue to perhaps put petrol in your tank to be able to drive your car. That's a very important issue. To go and do your shopping, it's a very important issue. To keep your house tidy or whatever it is. All these things are important, but if your life is only on the small issues, then it's missing the fact that there are big issues. And we can see big issues on a human level even in our world today. I don't need to name them, but there are sort of certain things that we keep coming back to about the way that the world is on a big scale, the changes that are taking place, and the way that things are in economic terms or in terms of the relationships between different countries. And all of these things are big issues. But there are bigger issues still. And these are issues that have to do with what's right and wrong. And then they have to do with the consequences of you and I choosing right or choosing wrong. And what kind of level of consequences there are for our choices. Like, if it doesn't really matter that we just live as we please, then, you know, there aren't really any big issues. If really and truly we are just living in a world where the material things are the only things, and where we are just animals that cease to exist whenever our bodies cease to work, and there's no God, and there's no explanation for where things came from, or where they're going, or what they're about. If we are in that kind of world, and there are only little issues, then it's no wonder that people can't face reality and hide from reality in all kinds of different ways, addictions and fantasies and all sorts of things. But we're not in that kind of world, because we look out in a world and we say, well, things come from somewhere. This world came from somewhere, and the stuff that makes it came from somewhere. And we come back to creation. We come back to God. We come back to the reality of our lives being a gift from God, and having a purpose from God, and having meaning from God, and having right and wrong. And so these are big issues. And then the question is, well, are we doing right? And if we're not doing right, then what's the consequence of that? In God's world, and in God's world which we're in, there are consequences. There is a destruction threatened. And no one spoke more about destruction than Jesus himself. He told us continually about the danger that unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. That was, these were Jesus' words. But he also told us about mercy. And he came because of God's mercy, and he lived and died to bring us mercy. And he's risen again to bring it to us. And so we come today, and there's questions about the little things in life that we often preoccupy ourselves with, but there are big issues. And we can't ultimately ever escape from the big issues. God is at work. And God is at work in every circumstance. And we saw last week how the experience of Jonah was a medicine for Jonah, because he was sick. He was spiritually sick, and God took him through a very, very unpleasant, frightening experience where he came back to God, and we see his prayer from within the great fish, and he seems to be changed, and he seems to be on a better path at that point. God is working in all our circumstances, good ones and bad ones. And we might just see the circumstances. We might just see the people. We might just see the things that are pressures in our lives. And we might just see the bills, or we might just see the suffering or whatever. But God has a purpose in everything that happens in our lives. And so Jonah, having recognized that inside the great fish, is on his way to Nineveh. And it turns out, it's going to turn out, we'll see that especially when we get to chapter 4, that he's back to the old Jonah, and he's not really wanting to go at all. But that's for next week. So here are some of the big issues. Three things that we can mention. Pop up the next slide, the big issues. Okay, on the next one, Mark. So these are the big issues. So there's mercy, there's judgment, and there's our will and God's will. And then there's the message, the messengers, and those who receive the message. So we're going to think about these things. Mercy. What I really want to achieve in speaking from Jonah is for us to get a greater realization that the mercy of God is everywhere. That the mercy of God is there for us. That the mercy of God is something that is real and something that God wants to show to each one of us all the time. And we've seen in this book God's mercy at work already. You think it's just about God's mercy to Nineveh, but actually, what about God's mercy to Jonah himself? Jonah was worthy of judgment, but he got mercy, and he found himself back on the beach and ready to go a second time to do the thing he refused to do and run away from God the first time. We see God's mercy to the sailors in the story as well. God's mercy to them in that they actually end up turning to the Lord in the story. That's a kind of almost an incidental thing, but it's real for them. We see God's mercy to Nineveh here in this chapter. And in the verse that we've got, verse 10. But there's more mercy. Like, this book of Jonah is here for us. I mean, this whole thing could have happened and we wouldn't know about it. We don't know very much about anything, really, that happened 2,800 years ago. And this whole thing, I mean, whole civilizations come and go without us hardly even knowing about them at all. At that time, away from where we are now. So we might not even have known about this. God could have sent Jonah and all this could have happened and we wouldn't even know about it. But there's a book, because God wanted whoever, probably Jonah, to write down the story, because it was a message not just for Nineveh, it's a message for Israel. So that Israel, who were also like the people of Nineveh, in danger of destruction, and as it turns out, about 80 years later, the grandchildren of the people of Nineveh and the other cities round about were going to march on Israel as a judgment of God on Israel, because Israel wasn't going to do what Nineveh did. Israel wasn't going to turn from their sins and their idolatry. And the Assyrians of Nineveh and the other cities there were going to take the people of Israel and deport them to Assyria. That was coming, but so it's a while off yet. So God wanted the Israelites not for that to happen to them. He wanted them to turn from their sins and escape that plight. And so this book is a mercy to the Israelites, but it's a mercy to everyone who reads it, because this is the message of the book. It is, turn to God and he'll be merciful. And that is the message of the book. There's a lot of other incidentals, but at the heart of it, there is judgment is coming. There are big issues, but turn to the Lord and he will be merciful to you. And this is the great message God wants in the world. He wants it out in the world. I mentioned my prayer about the Bible being translated into different languages. Jonah had to speak in another language, or if he didn't know the language, probably didn't, had to have it done through an interpreter. Well, when I said the Bible's only in half of the language of the world, that might make you think only half the people have it. Well, actually, about 99% of the people have the Bible in their own language, or at least the New Testament, a good part of it. It's just that there are an awful lot of languages in the world that are only spoken by, you know, hundreds of people or thousands of people, very small numbers of people. But these need the gospel too. They need to hear about Jesus, because the mercy of God is for everyone. And this book is telling us that. It's about giving people the chance to find mercy. And the Ninevites must want that mercy, and they did. But anyone who's going to get mercy must want the mercy. But if they want it and don't know it's there, then they're in a really bad place. But Jonah is sent to make sure they do know it's there, and this book is for us to get out there, as well as the gospel of Jesus, of course, so that people, if they want mercy, they know it's there for them. So there's mercy, but there is judgment. Judgment is a real thing. Verse 2 of chapter 1, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So there's a real threat for the people of Nineveh. And Jonah says 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm sure he said a great deal more than that, but he said that. And in verse 10 it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them. He did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. God's judgment is a very great reality, and it's there, it's coming, and there's no question about that in terms of the teaching of the Bible. And every time you and I have a pang of conscience, every time you and I think, oh, I really shouldn't have done that, or that was really bad, or that was, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't be thinking this, We are being dragged, as it were, by our conscience before the judgment of God. It's reminding us there's a consequence for the wrong thought that we just had, or the wrong words that we just spoke, or the wrong actions we just made. Judgment is coming. And, you know, we need to receive the mercy of God ourselves. And, you know, that's something I say to each one of you. You need to receive the mercy of God yourself. I need to keep on receiving it, day by day, seeking it. But we also need to get this message of the mercy of God into other people's lives. And here's something that stops that happening. And it stops it happening a lot. And it's when, instead of leaving judgment to God, we start judging. And this is a really easy thing for Christians to fall into. I mean, everyone does it. But it's a very easy thing for Christians to fall into, or to be in when they become Christians, and to never get out of. And it's this, that we're still judging ourselves, like judging other people ourselves. We're judging our neighbours and the wrong things they do. We're judging people in our family. We're judging our workmates. We're judging people in the community. We're judging the leaders of our nation. We're judging, whoever it is. We're always judging. And what happens is, when we're doing the judging, and if people get that from us, if they feel judgment, then we can't be messengers of mercy if we're people of judgment. Can't be. I'm thinking about this a lot myself just now, and I look back in my life and see that. You know, it's so difficult to be a good news messenger of God's mercy to people you don't approve of. To people you've condemned in your mind. And we can't do that in the service of Jesus. The great thing about Jesus to the tax collectors and the sinners was they could come to Jesus and not get from him what they got from the Pharisees and the religious teachers. That was judgment. Remember when Jesus is in the Pharisee's house, Simon the Pharisee, in Luke chapter 7, and this woman, whatever her background was, who had lived a sinful life, comes in, and she's obviously met with Jesus already, and she's so grateful for his mercy. And that he hasn't judged her, but has brought to her the mercy of God, and she's weeping. And the Pharisees say, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she is a sinner. Wouldn't let her touch him. Now, that woman was never going to get mercy from the Pharisee. And we have got to ensure that we're not like that Pharisee. We've got to not judge people. We've got to be agents of mercy to people. Jesus said this several times. Do not judge, or you will be judged. When we judge people, we withhold mercy from people. Well, let's think a bit about will as well. Because God does his will in this story. And that is, God wants to get mercy to the people of Nineveh. And he gets it to them. And he has decided how he's going to get it to them. And the man who he has decided is going to bring the mercy to him doesn't want to be that man. But God makes sure he still gets there with the message of mercy. And it's pretty tortuous for Jonah, but he does make sure. Now notice how he does it. God does never ever force your will. He doesn't interfere with you to maybe flick a switch in your brain when you're saying no. He just doesn't just step in and zap your neurons and maybe you say yes instead. He doesn't do that. He doesn't force you against your will to obey him, to love him. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want artificial intelligence, human beings who really hate God, but he's going to make them love him. He wants your will. He wants you to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He wants that. He wants it to come out of you. Now, God has his will, but he's never going to force your will to love him, to want him, to want his mercy. So sometimes, instead of forcing you, because he won't do that,
He'll arrange your circumstances to get you round to his way of thinking. And that's what happens in this book.
You know, if God didn't do that, then Jonah would be off to Tarshish and we'd never hear of him again. But God pretty dramatically arranges Jonah's circumstances with a storm, with some sailors, and with the casting of the lots, and with the fish, and so on. God brings him to the point where he says, okay, I'll go. He's willing. And that may be an explanation for what's happening in your life just now. You might be saying, God, why is my life hard? Why are things not going as I want them to go? Why is my will not being done, Lord? And God is saying to you, because I want my will to be done. Your will is a bad will. Your will is not going to be all that you think and hope it will be. And it's not going to be a blessing and a mercy to others either. I want my will to be done. And maybe that God is doing what he did with Jonah. And he's seeking to bring your will round. He won't force you. But to bring your will round to say yes. Because the word of God could have come to Jonah a second time. And Jonah could have said, the answer's still no. But that's not what happened. The answer is yes. I don't think Jonah was still that willing, and the book ends with the question, like, is Jonah ever going to really get what's going on here? That God has a heart of mercy, and he wants people to know that mercy. He wants them to love his will and not doing their own will, which is getting them into such a mess. So the question is, in our lives, whose will is being done? Whose will do we want to be done? Do we really pray the Lord's Prayer heartily? Your will be done. Your will be done, Lord, and not my will. Okay. So if we do want to do God's will, then just briefly, there is a message, and there are messengers, and there are those that are messaged. There's a message in verse 4, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Obviously, Jonah's going to have said more than that, but there is a message, and the king of Nineveh seems to reflect a great deal more. He says, who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger. So the message seems to have included a great deal of information, and of course Jonah had time to do that. It says here that Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Now, what that means exactly, I don't know if we can be sure, because Nineveh wasn't at that time a particularly large city. And we also remember that the way that they counted days was different to us. Like you could arrive somewhere sort of late afternoon, stay a day, in our terms, get up the next morning and leave. And in their terms, that's 3 days. I'm not going to try and explain that to you just now, but it's just, they didn't do mathematics in those days very much. But it's that's how it worked. But also, there's probably the sense that actually Jonah had this big population to deal with. There's a lot of people. And it's just about like how long it took him to get round and get the message out there as well. 3 days. But whatever, there's a message. God is in the business of judgment, but first he'll offer you mercy. He's going to bring judgment and justice to the world. He's going to right the wrongs. He's going to bring equity. He's going to balance the scales. But if you're on the wrong side of that, and sinners are, we are, then you need mercy. And God is in the business of mercy, and we know that far better than Jonah did, because Jonah wasn't able to look up at the cross of Jesus and say, this is the length that God will go to make mercy available to me. Well, it is. There is a message, and we have a message, but there are also messengers. And in the story, it's interesting because obviously the messenger that we notice is Jonah, and Jonah's struggling a bit with giving the message, and He's struggling a bit with the idea that the Ninevites might be shown mercy and all these things, but he does bring the message. Give him credit. But there are other hidden messengers. I like it in verse 6 when it says, when the news reached the king of Nineveh. I think someone took what Jonah had said and took it to the palace, to the king. And, you know, there's a hero. We don't know their name. Maybe it's more than one person. But someone did that. And, you know, we might not be in any way credited or in any way recognized or given a name in a book or whatever that's going to last. But all of us, you know, we are messengers. We've heard the message of Jonah. God wants to show mercy to this world. We've heard the message of Jesus Christ, that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be judged, but will have eternal life. That's a message. And we are the messengers. We're not looking for glory in that. We're not looking for credit. We're looking for nothing except that the person and persons to whom we share, with whom we share the gospel, are going to turn to Jesus and find his mercy. That's all we look for. And we all have this message. And let's not short-circuit it. Let's not nullify it by being judgmental. It's very easy to be judgmental. It's very easy to say, well, I'm actually doing all right. Look at these people and look at how they're living and look at the way they are in our community today. How are we ever going to be messengers of mercy to them if that's, you know, in our hearts? And so God wants my heart and your heart to be not judgmental, but rich in mercy and bringing that message of mercy. And finally, there are the messaged, to use a modern term, the recipients of the message. And, you know, that is really everyone. The message is for everyone. I guess Nineveh is a big place, 120,000 people, God says. And it must have been very, very daunting for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Very daunting indeed. But people are daunting. Your next door neighbour may be daunting. Your wife may be daunting. Your children may be daunting. Your colleague at work may be daunting in terms of sharing the message of God's mercy. You may just think, how do I do that? And that's where we have to do what Jonah had to do, and we have to come to a place where we look at ourselves and we say, well, why do I find it daunting to share the mercy of God with someone? Why? Well, maybe it's because we don't feel credible. And what does that mean? Well, it might mean that we're not sure about the message, but hopefully we are. Sure that God crucified his Son to pay for our sins and raised him from the dead to deliver to us a message of salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, hopefully that. But maybe we're not credible because we ourselves don't feel credible. Like, we know that other people can pick holes in us as people and can say, accuse us of, you know, being judgmental or accuse us of being inconsistent or whatever. And that's where we need the humility to say, look, God is merciful. Now, you can see that I need God's mercy, can't you? Because you know that I'm not a perfect man or a perfect woman, but God is merciful. So if he can be merciful to me, he can be merciful to you. You know, be authentic. You're not preaching at them. You're sharing with them. Because you're in the same boat as they are without God's mercy. So that's where we end today. Just thinking, how can I be a messenger of mercy to the people around me? And really seek to know the answer to that question and seek to bring the mercy to others. God help us. God help us. Amen.